نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الوالي الكريم، وصلى الله على الأنبياء أجمعين، والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين. أما بعد، Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it? And that He is alone and has no part? And that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles, and on the Messiah, the anointed one, and on the Mahdi, the God, and on the Mujaddid, the Reformed, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
My name is Timmy Tommy and Ashlyn, with a girl named Ashlyn.
She asked me what she asked me. The format that the devil uses, the physical devil. Who's the physical devil? The physical devil, I mentioned y'all many times in Genesis chapter 3, right? When he speak about the sin, which is verse 15, when he speak about the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. I made it very clear, and I left it there. I said, that says that the devil has children. Seed, the same word it is used. Same word as Eve. So then it's Eve's children through Adam, Cain, which is supposed to be Cain and Abel. And then there's the devil's seed. Okay? Say, okay. Now, then we have another character in the same chapter, and he's called the what? The serpent. He's considered a seed-bearing creature, a reptilian, right? Yeah, could the flood kill him? Because as a reptilian, or a leviathan, or a sea creature, the rain don't bother him at all. He just went under the waters after the flood. So after the flood was over, they were reptilians still walking around. Even who could talk? Obviously, because according to them, he was a reptilian and a tree, a serpent, and was able to nakash, speak with a whisper, if for anything else. So those children, those are the devil's children. Right? Now, Cain, on the other hand, what does he do? Let's tie that in. Cain goes over to a land where these children live at, and because he, according to them, because they don't believe in Akalim and Labuda, according to them, he took a wife out of the land of Nod. Well, the only people that can live after the flood were serpent people, because that's the only people who wouldn't have drowned. Then he married a wife. He married all throughout history, in Egyptology, in Sudanese culture, Islamic culture, even in the Sumerian culture, they speak about Dagon, Fishman. It's a well-known thing that everybody speaks of. Ogon. I've given you all a briefing on that. That's the whole foundation of Christianity in the Pope. They're all into worshiping that family of sea people that survived the flood. Yeah? So then that means Cain went and married a reptilian. Now reptilians are mixed in the human blood. You follow? And able to walk and talk among us. Just like human beings. And survive the flood. Like that family that survived Noah. Or Christian, whatever name they want to use, survived predominantly because he was in a ship. But the reptilians didn't need a ship to survive.
Did you hide in the
boat? They mixed in with the daughters of men, and they created these mighty beings. These mighty beings walk among us today. The sons of Cain and the serpent. They look like human beings. Jesus, never. I don't know if I wanted to say. The sad thing about it is that as much
so important, I should say, it was so important for people to stay in tribe before. And it was, you know, said, marry your own kind, stay amongst yourself. But see, the devil has a doctrine too. He said, if you're married too close, something's wrong with your genes. So we, at one time in Africa, and Egypt, you'll find they married cousins, first cousins. They kept things in the blood. That's the only way they knew I'm not marrying the same blood. But if someone came, like the Hittites came into Egypt, and Ramses married two Hittite women, and tied the Hittite Canaanite gene, which was part of Reptilian, right into the line. Then don't forget Hamet, which was his son, right, who was dark, also tied in the dark skin people, Hamet, the 11th son of Canaan, with Reptilian. It could be coming out your father. It could be coming out your mother. It could be coming from your grandfather. You know, he might have been from the reptilian seed. Mm-hmm. You know, then it's about how powerful the God seed in you, the Netir seed in you is to dominate. The Apap, they call it seed. They call it Apap. Right? Which later became Satan and the sea man, this fish man, and science and sea man. So it gets discussed in the world. Was it large? Right? Right. But it confirms that there are beings here that are disagreeable walking with us. Talking with me and you. We're in business. Because they make it their business to get in amongst man, because that's how they sustain themselves. We got to the point where we're laying eggs. Women have eggs now. When I say we're laying eggs, what you're thinking, I should have just removed the word lay. Right, because lay is what tricks you. Because if a baby is shaped inside the womb of a woman, and he's inside of a shell, like we explained the other night, right, then he's inside of an egg. When an egg comes out of a hen, it's not hard, it's soft. You're thinking of the egg you see in the store. It comes out soft, and when the egg is it hardens. Or when the woman's sac is removed, that placenta hardens. Just like an egg. So that baby is actually inside of an egg, inside the womb of a mother. The only things born out of eggs are reptilians. And Ra was born out of an egg, whose proper name was Ray.
Have you learned the science of the primordial egg? This is where the Bible gets the Ra Ray symbolized the sun.
Egyptians believed that this universe began with a mound which rose from the waters of chaos. That idea came from the annual inundation of Egypt, when, as it was receding, mounds rose above. You had water all around them. According to legend, a lotus grew out of the primordial mound. And from that lotus emerged the sun god, and from the sun god, all creation.
This is where he gets his concept of the goose that laid the golden egg. The golden egg is the sun, and the goose was supposed to be, no, Ra the male, the slave. The goose is supposed to represent the primordial mother of all things, of all nature. And that's why each one of the Egyptian deities, when you study them, their name, Kev, represents one of the elements. Your father would say happy, the deity was a male body with breasts and female hips and everything. That's the key of hermaphrodite and hermaphrodite, which is the fertility symbol, which also came down in one temple in Ifsu temple. Right, in Thebes, came up where Osiris said, I am the male and the female. Right? And he was talking about the power of the deity called Hapu or Hapi. Right? And you look up these things. But these people all related back to what? Coming out of the primordial seed, out of the water said. They gave us three principles. They are the so-called highest scientists of the Netir. When it becomes plural, it becomes Netiru. Singular, just Netir. The highest principle was three. The science of all triads and existence, you need it. Right? And they came out to be three rays. And I explained last time, it's Atum ray, Atun ray, and Amun ray. Those are the three highest scientists. So, all right, of course. as you study in the Egyptian mysteries. And they were responsible for germinating the seed, and Amun was the seed, the last seed, amen, right, where they use his semen to plant on earth. And we get shoe, chestnut, and we deal with breasts. And then Tifnut is moistness, which is the system. So they talk about the water. When they talk about the primordial water of chaos in ancient Egypt, they're talking about inside the woman and inside the man. The two fundaments in mystical sciences are the two forms of water in the human body, the two forms of liquid, which is the circulatory system. Right? That's why they say the chaos in the woman of the ancient Egyptians. They say they lived the water where the chaos of all life came out of. Well, that's because the chaos begins the minute the man, mammal, ejaculates the reptilian. See, when he sets the reptilian into motion, which is a sperm cell, which is a tadpole with a tail, a sea creature, the chaos starts as they race for the hole. That's why they call it in ancient Egyptian the chaotic seas that was taking place in triple darkness, three stages again, inside the womb of the mother, as the sperm is rushing, all these sperm cells we see, and they're like chaotically racing, you ever see the picture of it? Racing to get to the egg first, and the first one, or first two that make it, twins, or that's how the germination takes place, and then it's closed around them, and then the three other stages take place in the womb, that is the tadpole, on into the, all into the grape, and then on into the human being, the hairy creature. Because when you were in the womb as a grape, you didn't have any hair on your body. That's why they would take two babies, their big eyes, gray body, and no hair. Well, if you look inside and check into a woman, a baby, you see he's in there gray. But the sun hasn't hit him yet to change his pigmentation into color, and his melanin couldn't be activated. He was inside water. Well, I take your hand right now and soak it in water and keep it in there for, I don't have to wait 9 months. All the brown would disappear. Your hand turns gray. You ever see it? Your hand starts turning gray. That's what you look like. And your pupils would dilate because you'd be in darkness. Right? So you'd be just black eyes. You wouldn't have a black, little black dot in the iris and then a brown or a hazel. You'd have one big black eye, which they referred to as the iris, which is what the word ray or rock really means. The iris of the eye. The circle. All of these were symbolic meanings. You may wonder, why are we talking about that at this point? Because in the Nuwapiye school of thought, you're now moving to another level. I told you I'd take you off the levels of learning. And now you're ready to go into this mystical meaning of the mystery schools of ancient Egypt. You're moving to a higher level. Where information, where instead of me saying Anunnaki, I'm saying Neptune. Instead of me saying Naya, I'm saying Tia. Instead of calling myself Melody, I'll call myself that twin ray. It's another school. You gotta move that school. Transformation period of degrees of learning.
You know, I've got many degrees. Well, actually, I have 9 degrees of learning, but all it's subdivided, you know, 20. And you got, you're past a lot of it.
on the fundamentals, but now you got to go into the meanings and the mysteries of life, the real purpose of who you are and what you are and why you're here. And that may not be as nice as you like to hear the truth, but it's the secret that's been kept sacred for so long about man. And man has been given the illusion that he is such a grand creature and that he's a warm-blooded, compassionate, caring animal, you know, not even an animal, because he refuses that title also. He gives himself a new title. It's a human being, so it sounds close enough to the supreme being. It makes him feel that he's all right because he's in the image after the likeness of God. He just never told him what God.
Right.
He never told him how he's in the image after the likeness of God if he doesn't do God's things. He said, well, he'll say, well, I give charity. That's a godly thing.
No, it's not. That's a chain of life thing.
To give charity.
You mean by that's a chain of life? Make the chain of life simpler. Something eats the fetus. And the fetus bites you.
So if you could eliminate all mosquitoes on the planet, would you? Yeah, but you would throw off equilibrium. The whole balance of the universe would go out. Because everything is linked in a chain of mutation from every insect, every sea creature. There's something in every species that look like something else. In other words, there are fish that look like birds. And there's insects that look like snakes, and snakes that look like insects, and snakes that look like they can walk without legs. If you see, there's a prototype or an evolutionary stage through everything, as if everything is one long string, and they say chain because they want to assume it had been broken at one point. Right? And there's a missing link in the game.
But the alteration of the chain of life stopped when you and I became intelligent enough to move into an environment where we couldn't be eaten.
You see, we die by gunshots, old age, sicknesses, and diseases. But we belong in an environment where we could be eaten.
The same way a chicken belongs in an environment where it can be eaten, in the same way the bat preys upon the mosquito. And the mosquito goes towards the light, because the light is warm at night.
And the bat can't see, so he's going to get blinded as he goes towards the mosquito. Who arranged that? Some intelligence set this system up so that everything on the planet would grow properly. But when the planet was thrown off its axis, everything got thrown off.
Okay, so in view of the fact that pieces of the chain of life have been snatched out by us, that after the planet shifted, right, we changed. We became no longer dependent upon our superiors, our gods, our Netu, our Anunnaki, who started going for self. It became a law of survival. And we broke away from the order and ran and set up tribes. Moved into the woods, moved into anybody's knowledge, of course, into cities. But we moved and set up little, what they refer to as communities. And we derived new ways of surviving. In other words, if I'm not going to go where bears at because I can't beat it. I'm not going to roam if I'm in Kenya where lions are because I can't beat a lion. Now I'll roam where ostriches are because I can beat an ostrich and I can eat it. So I then came up with weapons of destruction. But I said they were not for destruction when I was using them. They're for hunting, for food. And then the hunting shift from hunting food to defending myself because me and my tribe were better hunters than you. So we had more food than you. And y'all was doing bad, so y'all said, hell, why should we hunt? We just go over there and take their food. And tribal war starts. And man starts fighting each other. You follow what I'm trying to say? But what happens is, when we move out of the woods where we're supposed to be accessible to the lions and supposed to be accessible to the bear or whatever animals that we interfere with the whole ecology of the land. Because
the human is not in the defecation of the animal to make certain plants grow. Understand? Because manure is what makes the planet grow. And if human is supposed to be a part of what's in the manure of animals to make certain plants grow, but they're not. So certain animals that depended on that, what happened? They died off.
above, and they call them mythological creatures.
Invite them all. They're all this is mythological.
Mermaid is a mythological creature.
There was no such thing as mermaid.
They make sure there's no traces of mermaid,
but time proves that it is, so we know that people now,
you have guilt.
You was in a sack of water for 9 months, 3 in the morning before you came here. And the atmosphere is moist. And if you don't have this moist atmosphere, you'll dehydrate. If you don't drink a certain amount of water or liquids and bathe and merge yourself in water, tub or shower, and how you're obsessed with making love on the beach or going in romantic or going to the beach or the swimming pool and just merging under the water for some reason, you feel quite comfortable there. Well, if you took your hand and held it right in front of your face, right, and moved it straight at yourself, you have what's called impact. Correct? Alright. Trees grow upwards. They're not square. They're round. Why? Well, when the seasons change and the winds come, they're shaped aerodynamically so that the wind would be in a flat mass, otherwise the first windstorm would flatten all the trees. They're made round so that the wind could move around them, and the stronger trees with the strongest roots will survive, and the weaker ones will crack off and die, crush down, become soil for a regrowth. Everything that nature creates, nature don't create square mountains. It creates aerodynamic mountains. They're shaped like this. So wind can come, go up, and increase speed to come down and be away, a tidal wave, or pull the pollen to another area to germinate it. So it carved the shape of things. Okay? So nature sends things in a direction against air or wind aerodynamically so it doesn't meet with resistance. Again, I said, if you take your hand and assume your hand is the air, if it comes directly at your face, it meets resistance. It hits a flat surface. This is why when you're walking and it's real green, you know, most of us who lived up north at one time know that, you have a tendency to do this. No, Douglas, you tuck your head down. You know, because aerodynamically, the way your nose is shaped and the curvature of your head, top part of your head, the curvature of here, this way this comes down, the way it passes your nose, or up. Then you say, well, aerodynamically, you'd be moving this way. How are the eyelashes shaped? Do they curve straight? Do they go straight out? Well, if they were supposed to catch things coming at you this way, like your mouth, they should have your eyelashes would be this way. So that when something comes, it goes and locks it up. Your eyelashes are this way. For the two directions you should be traveling in. So if I'm traveling this way and dirt comes to get into my eye, it'll catch it. That's why your eyelashes are shaped this way. Because I should be moving this way. And this way, because I can move in the opposite direction. But they're not like this, which they should be. And that's made clear by your mouth. Your teeth are made like this, so that food won't fall out. You have to swallow now. Only time food falls out your mouth is when you're talking. That's when your grandmother says, boy, girl, stop talking at the table and I'm going to slap you in the mouth. It's the closing God's hands on mouth. Right? So human beings should be moving. Why we have wings? We swim. We float. Because when you, anything that's in this atmosphere that is flying is actually swimming. If you've ever been on a plane and you look over, you see water on the wings. While this plane is moving through air, as you look over, you see actual water passing the wing. Because in an atmosphere, we're dealing with water. We're calling it air, but it's nothing but a gaseous form of water. So we are actually still breathing water. We don't have enough liquid in our lungs. We dehydrate or our lungs collapse and you're dead. So now we have disrupted the order of things. We have thrown off the natural order by not being available to be some other creature's food the way other animals have. Will come in your camp, rabbits will hop through your
place. And he's taking bone out, whooping it, and then the next thing you know, he's gonna... Oh, that's not us. What are you gonna say? A rotisserie. Yeah, in a rotisserie even. You follow? So, nature, Gaia,
is quite upset.
The
ancient Egyptian name
was Tanin. T-A-N-E-N. Sounds familiar to you because you heard the word Tanin or dragon in the Torah. Sea creature. The question should be, why is it being called the earth when it's predominantly water? Why would you be identifying it with the dry land when the land mass is a fraction of the water? And then they say we have the Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean and the Indian Ocean, and they're all connected. There's no separate, there's no different oceans. They're all one mass of water. The land masses have been divided only by the fact that some are underwater, so you don't see the connection. There's no separation between America and Africa. If you went out into the middle of the Atlantic Ocean between America and Africa and went down, what would you come up with? You hit soil. That means the soil is there and the two land masses come up and they call them surface. There's no such thing as land, Africa versus Asia versus India. It's all one. There's no oceans.
I'm saying to say, the first lies and our acceptance of them makes us vulnerable for the second, third, fourth, and fifth lies, and how easy we'll begin to accept them.
When they're now curving the way our mind would grow by information.
That is here that we have animals on the planet should understand. Deer know how to function in the woods. Birds know how to fly, we the land, we're not the land. You've never seen a bird land on a branch and hold its weight. You know, never.
They know, they just look down and calibrate, that won't hold me. They won't do it. They'll never listen. They've never seen land fall on the ground. We sit on chairs. They can't hold us.
If all other animals have figured out or have that ability, then what is wrong with us?
We are out of calibration. We are out of alignment with our own nature. That means we're not thinking properly. We have been maimed to the point where we are not even conscious of our own weight. You don't know how high you can jump. So when you jump, you're tempted to jump higher. You play basketball, you see a net. You look at the height of the net. You say, I can dunk that. You run and you don't do it. You say, hell, I can do it. Come back again, get the ball, run, and you still miss. You say, if I keep doing this, I'll get it. No, if you keep doing it, the running will develop the muscle strength. Eventually, the muscle strength will give you the power to do it. You missed it the first time, because you were incapable of calibrating. But your body said, hell, keep on doing it unless we step in and give him a little more muscle. So he stepped back 10 feet, so you know what you do? The second time you run, what do you always do? You go back a little further. Your legs said, do that, so by the time you get there, it will be a little longer. If I get you to do this 5 or 6 times, maybe somewhere between now and next year, you might dunk the ball. And then you can go on to the next adventure of your human failures. Yes?
Since you brought that up, I noticed like people in Boston when they drive, that when you're going down the road, they almost run you over. Now, they didn't used to do that though. It seems, say, calibrate off your axis or whatever. So when they drive, they almost run into you on your side of the road. It's like, why are you so close to me? You know, it's like it's more and more.
People are sick. Now, this is what I've been teaching for the last couple of weeks. Everybody here is already sick. You've already been poisoned. They've already messed with the water and the food. And worst of all, they messed with the mind. When you mess with the mind, that's the thing you really see. Everybody here is having headaches. Everybody's having nausea problems.
the food that they like, they desire it, and then when they get it, as you're eating, you seem like you can't put it away. Your body seems like it's, you know, you can put the food in front of you and you just start eating, and you can't finish the food. It's something you're used to eating. You know, before you ate 4 slices of bread, now you're eating a slice and a half and can't figure out why your appetite is gone. Well, people lose their appetite when they get sick. You got this mucus in there, this metal taste in the back of your mouth is there. You know, trying to figure out what this thing is. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's teeth are starting to bother them. Because the teeth are hooked to the nerve system and that's in the blood system. The blood is the thing that's messed up. The blood is the life source. Eyes are starting to bother them. People are starting, eyes are starting to itch. You know what I mean? You're starting to have problems. Because you were supposed to be alien. You were supposed to be a part of the earth. Not like an insect walking around in a scalp of the earth. Let me say that again. Instead of what we do, we're the bug walking on the scalp that never penetrates the soul of the body. The insect, the gnat that lives in the hair of the dog, and on the surface of the dog, within the hair, the woods of mange, or whatever, never knows about the heart and the emotions and the bloodstream and the circulatory system and the respiratory system, so it can't reconcile that it's a living thing. Because it lives in its forest. You follow? We as a part of the earth were supposed to always stay in tune with the earth. But we have separated ourselves and now like an insect, we are walking on the surface of the earth. And we're not in tune with the fact that she has emotion and a respiratory system and a circulatory system. She gets blackheads or boils. And they're called or tails. She gets zits. Mountain swell. You think it has all of the sicknesses that a human being gets, because she has a circulatory system and a respiratory system, because the planet Earth contracts and expands. And anything that's contracting and expanding is basically breathing. She has moods. Four basic moods. We call them climatic changes. And females are in tune with the four basic moods of the woman in relation to the four positions of the moon. Now, men would like to believe that the moon is less than the sun. But let me tell you, you couldn't live on this planet with just the sun and no moon. You wouldn't make it, it would overheat. You need the moon to cool down the planet and pull the tide. Otherwise, the planet would overheat. Though the moon is smaller than the sun, it's more important than the sun at certain times. Meaning, at night. If there was no sun, appears to set and goes behind and leaves a shadow area, as we call it, rather than just dark. A shadow area, and the moon provides that light. You follow that? And because that moon is reflecting the light of that sun, then it also sends down a small amount of heat. But it keeps it balanced, so you get what they call a moonlit, beautiful night. See, it's just light. It's not hot, it's not cold. That's balanced. We are part of this system. Our system works with this system of things. And they separated us from this and turned us into human animals. Turned us then from human animals into pets.
You know what? You know what I've heard say? Most people have a dog say, you know that dog thinks he's human. You heard that say, well, my dog acts so, or my cat acts so dumb, she thinks he's human.
That's how, you know, reptilians' children, which is one people, which are the corpusoid ones, and then the Canaanites, or Canaanites' children, we mix in with them, which are black devils.
You follow? The black devils become their pedigree pets. And the black devils are pedigree pets.
They try to be like their master. And that's why niggas try to be like white people. Because they have first made you an animal. They reduce you to an animal by depriving you of all your divinity and divinity principles, the thing which is self-determination.
Devil. They say you have free will. You don't have free will. Do you?
like they say in this country, you have freedom of speech.
They say you have freedom of religion, but then they'll call you a cult. Like they're great. They'll say, he says he's Jesus, and he's a cult, let's go burn him up. So you don't have freedom.
They say you have the right to bear arms, and they say, but you have to get a permit for me to do it. You don't have all these things. You in actuality are someone's pet. And the only pets they like are the ones that try to be like them.
Your dog is real. My dog is like a human being. Come here. My shit. These dogs,
then what they do to them next? They dress them.
Yeah.
Put on human clothes. Then they'll start feeding the dog human food. You won't eat dog food. You'll get sirloin steak. They'll take the dog to a barbershop. They'll take the dog to a beauty parlor. They got dog hotels, dog resorts, dog training camps. That's all.
They'll kiss the dog on the mouth.
Yeah. Sleep with the dog in their bed.
Yeah, a lady, she brought a picture in and showed everybody, and she said, oh, I didn't mean for that picture to get in there, and it was a picture of her dog laying up on her bed.
No, but in that movie, when I'm married, one of the women is going to do something so disgusting, you're just going to go, ugh. But I even for you remember that. You saw it.
All right, but you didn't do that.
The best niggers are the pets that try the most to be like the master. And they'll give them a suit of clothes and let them eat a little better. They'll give them a better job than you. And they'll even sleep with them.
Oh, you know, see?
The black brother from Ghostbusters, he got a white wife. They'll give you one of them there. They'll allow you to sleep with the master. It's a thing, but they first have to reduce you from a god to an animal.
The hardest thing in the world, you may find teachers.
He's trying to convince niggas that they're gods.
I ain't no god. Ain't no one god, Jesus.
Oh, ain't no one god, not all the law. Muhammad is this Rasulullah. You know what I'm saying? Can't say it right. You know what I'm saying? And they will fight you about their divinity. I mean, they will wrestle with you like Jacob.
You know, like an angel. And you can't get through. Because that is the way.
Realization process, because when you become conscious that you're God, your outlook on mortals and animals and life and nature changes. You become a responsible creature, capable of responding. Right now, you people are waiting for people to say something to you. I mean, you just hope somebody walks up and says, oh, what are those shit mean here? The first thing here, what is this? You just laying for that. You don't know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take them down gently. You hit them hard. Put an expression in their face. The way they act, they're like arrogant. Right. Oh, they look like they could be black Muslims. It should be 5%. No, like, you know,
Right. It's going on in your mind. It'll be the software. You got to put it in accent. You look them up and down and say, okay, so this one here, this is really a stupid question to ask.
And then that's where it starts. That's the power, you know, you're God, you're spawning things, you're giving birth to thoughts in people's minds, and you're exploding. And as you explode these things in their head, it's like when I say something to y'all, they'll go, wow. It's a boom. It's an explosion of a dead cell that's reactivated, it's came back to life. Chaos in the womb. Birth, spawning, happening in the brain, which is also sitting in liquid. And as I hit you before, you take them back. Why you jump into the chest way pop this one? Bam! They go, people go, and you look for people, they go. Pop something in their brain, and it opened up, and it can't ever close again. You follow that? But they, you're the dog, you're the pit bull, or the rock welder. It turns on the master.
And they want to put you to sleep. You see that?
Yeah.
They got that stock. You look at Malcolm X. You
look at Dr. Martin Luther King. You got to go. And you can go on to Noble Draw Lee and all the leaders that were a part of the human animal
who became wise enough,
you know what I mean, to stop and say, you know why? Because dogs run in packs. And if Malcolm X would have kept going that way, he would have been by himself in a year. Charismatic as Malcolm X was, with or without the Nation of Islam doctrine, he would have went on to become a great black political leader. And maybe a president. You know what I'm saying? So their philosophy is kill him and silence him. And stop the flow of the information or the development of the information. And because they have the Tula Society, you know what I'm saying, right? And the Theosophical Society under Madame Blackovesky and them, and they've been involved with the psychic and the mind and what they call remote viewing and psychometry and voodoo and Ouija boards, and because they've been doing this all the way since the 1910. They have sacred brotherhoods also that deal with strictly mind power. They can focus on a group like us and send energies out, and you'll become my assassin. Sirhan, I don't even know why I shot him. You ever hear his side of the story? He said, I have no reason, I don't even know why I shot Bobby Brown. They could not make any link, any military or paramilitary group or a subversive group to why he shot Bobby Kennedy.
They don't even know why.
He saw him.
Just did. And when they get a lot of these major serial killers, but what you notice they have more of between 1950, between 1960 and 1990 than you ever had between 1920 and 1960. You didn't have that many serial killers back then. They have them now. Because they were testing. They were testing mind control. That's what the project was. The Rainbow Project that was taking place in Montauk. That stemmed from the Philadelphia Project. What's the rainbow? The seal, the spheres. The rainbow, in your scripture, what?
Is the seal of the seven spheres. That's why the seven colors of the rainbow. Read your Torah.
When they tell you about, and God put a rainbow over you. This is a project, an atmosphere that you're in. You're in a dome. That's why I explained to you about the spheres last week, about biospheres, there ain't no such thing. You're in a dome. And someone is boring holes in the dome so that the poison outside can come in. In other words, if we were to move planet Earth to another planet, then we'd have what's referred to as a biosphere. We can sit it down on another planet. Because we have these seven spheres, they protect us from the ultraviolet rays and the poison outside. As long as we have a controlled environment which produces an environment suitable for us to live, we can live on another planet. Correct? But if somebody, if we did this on Mars, and somebody started boring a hole into the let's call it the dome, or the spheres, or the rainbow, what would happen eventually? Okay, if the human body is supposed to stay kind of basic temperature of 98.6, correct, and global warming is happening because ozone layer is thinning because someone bore a hole in it, and the greenhouse effect is taking place, so the metamorphosis between carbon monoxide and oxygen is happening quicker at night, less breathing, so the human body is breathing slower, you're breathing pumps now. People, and you watch your kids go, stomach is bouncing instead of, very few people go, check this out, you see.
In New York City, a report to the United Nations warns that global warming is a real threat to the survival of the planet. In their first such finding since 1990, 2,500 international scientists say that they are convinced that manufactured gases trapped in the atmosphere are contributing to the greenhouse effect. As a result, glaciers and snowpacks are melting so rapidly that sea levels are rising at an alarming rate. Within the next 25 years, most beaches in the eastern United States will vanish. And at the same time, deserts worldwide will expand, gobbling up precious natural resources. The UN report calls for global alternatives to the burning of petroleum, coal, and wood. It's a tall order, but scientists point out that a similar call to action in the 1980s has now almost completely eliminated another ozone destroyer, the CFCs in aerosol cans.
Your body now stays heated sometimes from the inside out. Instead of the heat hitting you and you feel heat, but you put a fan on or air conditioner or change the environment, the heat is coming from the inside out. So even when you put the fan on, it just makes you sick. Because what it does is it chills the surface water that's coming from the sweat that's coming outside, and you end up with a cold. And another cold, one after another. Another cold, which makes you run to the cabinet and grab these pre-programmed drugs to put in your body, or Tylenol, Sudafed, and the likes. And all of these things are bacteria going inside. As your immune system is being broken down by the global warming, and you're starting to heat up. Now, why does it affect you more than them? Why don't they mind drilling a hole in it? And they're convinced that they can seal it back. But you're black. You're melanite. So once that seal is gone, who is the sun going to hit first? Does the sun draw into black and bounce off of white? Or does it draw into white and bounce off of black? So I'm going to say, don't wear black when it's hot. It'll get double heat. So they know enough to know they put a hole in there in whatever dimension. When the rays come through, it'll get you first. Them, it doesn't like the light color of their eyes. So now, Tamahus are having $1 million being spent on what? Simpler than that.
Operation.
Color contact. They're convincing Tamahu now. They originally made color contacts for you and me. But now all the commercials are white people. We can make your eyes green or blue or brown. And Tamahus with these light eyes have to go get them so they have some sun rays and they have X-ray film put on them. They tell you to keep the sun's rays out while they send the rays in to attack us. And the reason why they want to keep our body overheated because by overheating our bodies, they slow up our reproductive ability. Their greatest fear is reproduce too fast. And they've tested our genome in their life. You look right at you. You look like that. Jeez, I see. They have tested our abilities. Scholastically first. They put us on the baseball field as Jackie Robinson. What made them do that? So they made that they didn't like him, they loved him.
You see Richard Nixon's like them.
He's right today. That was Hitler's move. Hitler was God to them. Because Hitler was trying to figure out how to breed a superior Caucasian race to survive. Right? But what he did, or what he thought he had it done, took him to the Olympics. He never thought he would encounter someone who had been bred for 400 years in slavery. When he only had one generation of three, he came up against a man called Jesse Owens and a whole fleet of others. They only give Jesse Owens credit. If you go back and watch the old film, a whole about 30 niggas outran him. Jesse Owens just outran him so sad that they didn't want to kill him.
I mean, Hitler blew his mind when Jesse Owens outran his...
When he was bringing to the world, I have bred the perfect Flavian, the perfect man. Long hair, blue eyes, North. And that's why they call those things North.
Oh, yeah.
That's where it comes from. It's named after Hitler's plan. And a nigger being.
But see, what happened is, another man, Caucasian, kidnapped these black people and took them from their own land, right, Africa, and was leading them to work.
That's why, if you look around this room right now, the nearest one, this brother here, and this brother here, is the nearest to what a black man used to look like. most of us walk around with size 40s, 42s, and down, our grandfathers was, their shoulder span started from 44. Remember your grandfather's suit jacket?
Remember, you put on as a kid, you was in it.
You know what I mean? You remember the size of his hand? They have through those chemicals in the sun, in these medicines, in these pills, and our sexual appetite have shrunk us down to nothing.
How do you be saying now? Because you're breathing less, you're taking less food, you're taking less poison, then your life will survive. You're dying this way, but nobody listens to you.
Right? So, when Hitler's plan fell because they had bred Africans to be workhorses so they could have them on the field all day, these big men, they start calling them bucks, like a male deer, a mandingo, they call them. Big African. But what happened is, the white women looked over and said, hell, well, if they're that big that way, you know, oh, happy day.
What they didn't know is that the Tamahu, his gene was so weak that he was also saying, hell, if they think that way.
And then the slave masters was taking black men,
if all that, and having some homosexual acts with them and pumping into alcohol, something that's not legalistic.
And even Uncle Nothing was a hermaphrodite, not a homosexual.
If all that, it was a physical effect. That eventually becomes a chromosomal effect.
Because anything that's in the level, if you break your tongue, right? And you can have a child later, your son. You know, a son will have he'll have a bent tongue. Scientists don't understand how that happens. Mom said, hey, but it can happen. If you have a broken finger, you have a son, he'll have a lump on his hand born that way. Or a birthmark. Because of something the mother craved when she was pregnant. She might have craved a pork chop. And baby has a pork chop on their arm. You can have a little fish on a pork chop. But it's shaped just like a pork chop. The mother had that power. That God bind a stamp that in there. I mean, she does have something to do with the shaping of the womb. It will take place in the womb. And also found out something else, I don't know if I told you yet,
that men are only 10% of the process, 90% of the process is women in reproduction.
And in actuality,
the woman's body, yeah, grown for men,
the woman's body really wants to reject the man. It's
part of our emotional conflicts.
That means when the sperm cell gets into the woman, her natural antibody that's there to defend itself sees it as something else and goes out to destroy it. And the brain triggers a serum, right, to create this egg and put the baby in it to protect it from the mother itself.
This is why postpartum is where they feel like the mother can kill their own child. There's something in the brain. Now, how they discover it? I'm not going to get you know, man.
How they discovered it? They discovered it because they were trying to find out why human bodies reject transplants. That's where the study started. Why did they take my heart and put it in you? Regardless of what they do, in due time, your body will reject. No transplants have been successful. None. Today. The body always, over a period from 6 to 8 weeks, I mean, they can keep coming back in and get a boost up and keep coming back in and get a boost up, but if they don't go back, it's not like they can put a new heart in and you can walk away and that's it.
You're in your lower abdomen.
This is an intriguing thought to patients suffering from kidney failure, like Kate Sullivan. Faced with a lifetime of dialysis, she recently had to ask someone close to her to make a difficult decision.
My sister and I are super close, and I couldn't think of anybody else that would go through the kind of surgery that it is. I mean, it's not simple, and there's a lot of pain involved and a lot of healing. And I don't think you can just ask anybody to do that.
As soon as I found out that she needed a kidney and that a living related donor would be the best one, I said that she could have mine.
The transplant was a success, and a few months later, Kate was in excellent health and well on her way to a full recovery. But Kate must still take 29 pills every day to stop her body from rejecting her sister's kidney. A kidney from her clone would be a perfect match.
If I needed a kidney and I could get one from a clone, I would definitely do it. because the most important thing would be that you wouldn't have to take the anti-rejection medicine, because I see what my sister's gone through, and I think that's the hardest thing about the kidney operation, is that she has to take so much medication.
And since Kate's new kidney may only last for 10 to 20 years, she may have to go through the transplant process again. At that time, human cloning may be an option.
Church of Kadesh Christ Incorporated. This program is for one group of people and one group only, the children of God. You no longer have to wander or wander off the straight path. For those who want to make a difference, for those that want to know the truth of so many unanswered questions, and for those who are tired of the devil taking control over everything in their lives and the lives of their children, this program is set up for those who want to bring God's kingdom to earth. According to the scriptures, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness should be added to you. Therefore, we must take back control of our lives. We, as the Egyptian Church of Kadesh Christ Incorporated, are reaching out to embrace all the children of God. As it states in Psalms 82, I have said, ye are God, and all of you are the children of God. Next, you will be listening to our pastor, Reverend Dr. Malachi B. York L., on questions and answers.
The other six, and then give it to who? Referring to the same question, please. Rahabat. I know what you're trying to say. She says is that the average person in here doesn't have seven clones. But let's say there are five men that control the Bilderberger Society. Bilderberger Society of five men who rule the world. Or Ram Corporation. Each one of them have a clone. Each one of them had that clone produce copies of themselves for body parts. They have special doctors that are responsible for keeping them together. Let's say he has face cancer. If you notice, at one point, his whole face was swelling up and eating away. If anybody knows something about terminal cancer, they would not be able to just pull away and patch him up like that. It doesn't work like that. Once it starts to eat the cells away, that's it. You have a very limited amount of time when it becomes that apparent. Now if you look at it, all of a sudden, this whole big mass is gone. Or had this big growth on his nose of cancer. And all of a sudden, you know, he disappears for a little while, goes away, goes in the tour, comes back to, and it's not there. He no longer has a nose problem. So they have ways now. What they're doing is they have cell tips they work with. And they have a problem with making it public in America because they have to go into the fetus and take cells from the fetus that can rebuild cells. What I'm saying now sounds crazy, but if you go to the computer, you can investigate cell tips, they call them. And it rebuilds cells. So if you have, let's say, MS or some kind of brain damage, now they have the means by which they can take out of a baby's fetus cell, inject them into your brain cells, it'll cling on and begin to reproduce fresh blood cells, actually regrow cells. But the conflict is every time they do that, they have to eliminate a baby. They have to kill a baby. So now they're trying to take control of Africa and other countries where they don't mind eliminating babies in order to sustain their life. Ugly is a sad truth, but it's the truth. So like say the Anunnaki and beings of that caliber had clones. The ancient Egyptians had clones. The so-called pharaohs had clones made themselves. So in the event that during their life they suffered from some type of terminal disease, the alchemists could immediately replace that, and with no fear of rejection, because they replace it in, you know, 6 to 8 weeks determines whether or not your blood is going rejected. There was no fear of that. And that's what it means when they say they, they're talking about those physicians. And in the, let's say in the time of Zuza, the physicians would be under Ahmose, that was his high priest. And beneath, in the time of Tutankhamun, he would be Ai. The high priest would be Ai. He had a bunch of men under him, which were called the royal guard of Amun-Ra. And they were high priests. You sometimes see them depicted in artwork with an Islam on. A simple white robe, bald head, no hair. They shave all of the body. Anything that was bacteria attractive, they didn't have. They were pure white robes all the time. They always show them in any book you read on Egyptian, they show you these men.
Setting the record straight. Okay, setting the record straight. When you start talking about a situation of...
No, they thought you hear it.
How come I can't hear shit? Is it this?
Good evening. We are coming to you from the Egyptian Church of Kadesh Christ Incorporated. This program is for one group of people and one group only, the children of God. You no longer have to wander or wander off the straight path. For those who want to make a difference, for those that want to know the truth of so many unanswered questions, and for those who are tired of the devil taking control over everything in their lives and the lives of their children, this program is set up for those who want to bring God's kingdom to earth. According to the scriptures, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness should be added to you. Therefore, we must take back control of our lives. We, as the Egyptian Church of Kadesh Christ Incorporated, are reaching out to embrace all the children of God. As it states in Psalms 82, I have said, ye are God, and all of you are the children of God. Next, you will be listening to our pastor, Reverend Dr. Malachi B. York L., on questions and answers.
Action that someone removes
this
from one of the other
six
and then gives it to I know what you're trying to say. And she says it was them. The average person in here doesn't have seven clones. But let's say there are five men that control the Bilderberger Society. Bilderberger Society of five men who do the work. A Ram Corporation. Each one of them have a clone. Each one of them had that clone produce copies of themselves for body parts. They have special doctors that are responsible for keeping them together. Let's say he has face cancer. Have you noticed, at one point, his whole face was swelling up and eating away. If anybody knows something about terminal cancer, they would not be able to just pull it away and patch him up like that. It doesn't work like that. Once it starts to eat the cells away, that's it. You have a very limited amount of time when it becomes that apparent. Now if you look at it, all of a sudden, this whole big mass is gone. Or had this big growth on his nose of cancer. And all of a sudden, you know, he disappears for a little while, goes away, goes in the drawer, comes back to, and it's not there. He no longer has a nose problem. So they have ways now. What they're doing is they have cell tips they work with. And they have a problem with making it public in America because they have to go into the fetus and take cells in the fetus that can rebuild cells. What I'm saying now sounds crazy, but if you go in the computer, you can investigate it. Cell tips, they call it. And it rebuilds cells. So if you have let's say MS or some kind of brain damage, now they have the means by which they can take out of a baby's fetus cells, inject them into your brain cells, it'll cling on and begin to reproduce fresh blood cells, actually regrow cells. But it's the conflict is every time they do that, they have to eliminate a baby. They have to kill a baby. So now they're trying to take control of Africa and other countries where they don't mind eliminating babies in order to sustain their life. Ugly is a sad truth, but it's the truth. So like say the Anunnaki and beings of that caliber had clones. The ancient Egyptians had clones. The so-called pharaohs had clones made themselves. So that in the event that during their life they suffered from some type of terminal disease, the alchemists could immediately replace that. There was no fear of rejection because they replaced it in, you know, 6 to 8 weeks determines whether or not your blood is going to reject it. And there's no fear of that. And that's what it means when they say they, they're talking about those physicians. And in the, let's say in the time of Zuza, the physicians would be under Amenhotep. That was his high priest. And beneath in the time of Tutankhamun, he would be Ay. The high priest would be Ay. He had a bunch of men under him, which were called the royal guard of Amun-Ra. And they were high priests. They used to sometimes see them depicted in artwork with an Islam on, a simple white robe, bald head, no hair. They shaved all their bodies. Anything was bacteria attractive, they didn't have any more pure white robes all the time. They always show them in any book you read on Egyptian, they show you these men, they call them wabs or priests in ancient Egypt. Well, these men knew the sciences, they were like scientists. They knew about the embalming, they knew about cloning, they knew about alchemy, altering molecules. They just were learning. They got their knowledge from beings who came from beyond the stars here, which sounds crazy in America until when we speak of beings coming from beyond the stars, it sounds like it's crazy until you talk to a Christian in America and you say, where did Jesus come from? And they go, huh? You say, well, where did Jesus come from? According to your Bible, Jesus said, I am from above, you are from beneath. Jesus said, I come down from the Father. As long as you're talking UFOs and you keep it in that terminology of UFOs, it sounds crazy. But when you turn around and just say, let's get for real, where did Jesus come from? They'll say, before he came to earth, he had to have been someplace. If you say he came, they'll say, well, Jesus came from heaven. The next question is, where is heaven? The definition of heaven, of course, to them is up there. Up there, where? Up there somewhere. Okay, good. Being you don't know exactly where he came, but you do know he came from up there, then you are admitting that he came to this earth from some other place where he lived. Did he have a seat beside his father there? They'll say, well, according to the Bible, of course, Jesus sat on the right side of his father while up there. So there are seats there. Were the angels there, the heavenly hosts? According to the Bible, there were heavenly hosts there. And the heavenly hosts, were they nude or did they wear robes? Or when Jesus appears in visions or when the Blessed Mother Mary appears in visions, they always are garbed in white robes, etc. So they have robes there. Yes, when you read the holy books, it speaks about paradise and the fruits of paradise and the pure water of paradise and the gifts that we're going to get when we get to heaven, which are very similar to the things we already have here on earth, but they are appropriate tarnishless. But slowly but surely, we're being confronted with a reality that there's a place somewhere there where they go, a specific place. And in that place, there's seats and people talk. Because in fact, in Genesis chapter 3, God is walking in the garden talking. Well, either God was talking to himself when Adam and Eve heard them, but it says they heard God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. So he was actually moving about. So what was he doing? Talking to somebody, a group of people, because they heard him. And you wouldn't hear him if there was no concrete and he didn't have no clips on his shoes. You wouldn't hear him. They were walking around in sandals on sand. You won't hear nobody walking on sand in the cool of the day. So they must be having a conversation. Who is God talking to? Other beings that are on his equal or beneath him or above him. They have to be in one of those places. They have to be either higher than him, equal to him, or beneath him. But whatever it is, there's other people there. If there's a seat on the right side, the only reason why you would mention having a seat on the right side is because there must be a seat on the left side. So if Jesus is sitting on the right side because he's good, then on the left side sits Satan. But Satan can't be there no more because Revelation 12 says Satan was thrown out of heaven and can't come back no more. So there's an empty seat on the left side. But as you add these ridiculous little things together that sound like mumbo jumbo, they come down to a reality that there is a place where Jesus came from. And there's a place that Jesus wants us to go to. And he says, where I am, you may be also. But the point is, if he says that where I am, you may be also, if we go and look at that literally, he's saying, I am somewhere and you're over there. And I want you here. And to find out where that, we simply go to the Lord's Prayer. Where is that here? Well, Jesus said, I want you to pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven. So now he's separating himself from earth beings and saying there is a heaven and our Father is there. If all, we have to do that. If we take it from the religious and just blindly go by faith and say, well, you know, I'm not going to address these final points, then we're not worthy to be there. Simply because it says you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. So we're supposed to know these things. Otherwise, God would have never put them in the Bible. He didn't want us to find him. He never gave us the intelligence to find him. He wouldn't give the heathen the intelligence to rage. Because God controls all the intellect in the boundless universe. So if someone speaks against God, God allowed him to do it for a specific reason. He wants that question raised. He wants that doubt in Thomas to exist. Because by doubt in Thomas, he can confirm the truth. If there's no doubt in Thomas, how do I get to the truth if I don't have somebody saying, well, I know God personally. And then there's some guy in the congregation says, you don't know God. God arranged both of those situations. The kook who says, I know God personally, and the guy that says, you don't know God. He says, yes, I know God. Well, where is God? Oh, God's in heaven. He talks to my heart. Okay, now the situation changed. God talks to your heart. God talks to everybody. I thought you meant that you knew him personally, like I know this guy, and he talks to me like me and him sitting in the bar having a beer. That's the big difference. It's less like that. So when he's making reference to they, he's speaking of a place where beings are. And those beings walk and talk with God. And they're called the heavenly host. In fact, one man in the Bible called Enoch was so good that God didn't even let him die. It says in the Bible, God translated him and took him to himself. And took him to himself. And Enoch didn't even die a mortal death. So now, Enoch in the Bible didn't die a mortal death. Then he was still in a physical form. And if God took him and translated him out of this planet somewhere, he went there in what? A physical form. If Elijah in the Bible, teacher of Elias, took a chariot to the heavens physically, they saw him go up into the sky physically, then what? There must be some place up there where people meet physically. If Jesus ascended before the disciples physically, and they watched him, as they say in the Bible, go through the clouds. Correct? That's what it says in the Bible. You can change the Bible to make it suit your religious belief, but if you want to say literally, it says Jesus went up through the clouds and his disciples watched him disappear into the clouds. He was in physical form. This was not from the cross, what they call it, when he saw the spirit of Elijah and he saw the spirit of Moses and he had that transfiguration, as they call it. To transform one figure to another. They said he was illuminated, but he was still physical. Because in order for you to be illuminated, you must have some physical. You can't light a light bulb without a filament. You need that filament inside there to get the light. Now, when the light comes out the bulb, it appears to be something intangible. But if you trace the light back,
It cuts back to that bulb, cuts back to that filament, cuts back to those wires, cuts into that force, cuts into that electricity, which is physical. So there are beings there. We have got to come into that reality that there are beings with God. Whether we want to call them angels, or by whatever term that makes us feel good, if you want to call them extraterrestrials, if you like the color green, you call them little green men. That's your prerogative. That's your individual choice, as long as you do acknowledge that there are beings with God. Now, in Africa, they may choose to acknowledge all of these beings and give them all separate names. And then we, as Christians, may look at them and say, that's paganism. And then they'll say, well, what about the saints? Well, we'll say, well, that's different. I say, what's the difference? You got God the Father. You say, that's right. Heavenly Father. And Jesus the Son of God. You say, that's right. And the Blessed Mother Mary. They go, that's right. You say, and the Holy Ghost. You go, that's right.
I don't know.
They say, well, that's four. You say, no, that's one. That's three and one. That's Trinity. They'll say, no, you may say it's three and one because that's what you want to be. But when we in Africa break our gods all up into a whole bunch of gods, and then we say all of them are one. So if you go talk to an ancient Egyptian, he will say all the gods come into one god, Atum. Right? And you say, well, there's Amun-Ra and there's Bestia. He'll say, yeah, but all of them are qualities of the one God. If you talk to a Muslim, you'll say Allah is one. He says, well, he has 99 names. He'll say, yeah, well, all these are attributes or qualities of this one God. You see where the trick is coming in? Once we get into the reality that we are at the third level of manifestation, that there's a higher level of beings, and then between us and those higher level of beings, there's angelic beings, and then it comes down to us who are physical and angelic beings. If all, so when beings came to this world, they had to be assured that their mission would be completed. So they had people that said, we're going to keep his body intact while he does his mission. So they made duplicates of him. And it sounds crazy today, but if I told you about a television on your wrist 10 years ago, you would have laughed. If I would have told you he was putting frozen food inside of a little box of electricity and pushing buttons, and in 3 minutes you have a meal, if I would have told you that 45 years ago, you would have thought I was crazy. If I would tell you there was going to be cloning people, you would have thought that was insane. All those things that appeared to be insane yesterday are realities now. Bringing people back to life. You know, people who died in the hospital, the doctors come in, there's no blood circulation, there's no pulse, the person is legally dead, the doctors walk out the room, pull the sheet over the patient's face. You know, they're making a death report, come back in, the person is sitting up. And they say, I had a near-death experience. The doctor say, near my butt, you were dead. But how do they present that to the medical society? When there is no rules in the books for people who die and come back. Simply because this society haven't got that far as to mesh medical and religion. Because they won't marry the two, they don't leave room for those things, so they'll say, well, maybe they were dead. The person said, well, let me tell you something. I was floating around the room and tell people what they saw them doing during the period that they were laying there supposedly dead. They got to do what, well, we can't explain that right now, but we're sure in time we'll have an explanation. Well, of course. In time they had televisions. I was living when there was no televisions. There was no thing about human beings walking around on a screen. My mother sitting right here, she was living when Jesus was living. You always good to have a parent around that makes you feel young. Even if you're old. Some of us folk in here were living when things didn't exist that you take for granted. Like the children today, the reason why the children are crazy, because they have what's referred to as an instant replay life. You know what that means? Years ago, if we wanted to watch Joe Louis in them box, we all stooped down in front of a radio, and everybody listening while a man narrated. We didn't see them on television, let alone miss them and program a machine that catch the fight while I'm out somewhere else. I come back in and go pimp and watch a fight. Was that possible when you were a kid? No way. You want to know what's wrong with the children today? The children today have this concept that life can be stored and picked up later. So when you talk to them, say, listen, you got to get your life together. Now they're going to come. He said, whatever you're going to do with your life, now you better start doing now. Mm-hmm. He said, listen, nigga, I'm talking, talking straight up, nigga. You better start studying right now. Talking to them. Mm-hmm. So you got to get a couple dollars for the party. Tomorrow's Monday, nigga. You got to go to school. Mm-hmm. See, they know that they can get videotapes or what they call it when kids can't read this thing now. Hooked on phonics. The only hook on phonics we got was our grandparents hooking us upside the damn head if we didn't study. Wasn't about going out to the movies on Saturday until your room was clean. These kids got everything on instant replay. And until we destroy that system, we'll never be able to change the children. So I'm saying the things that appear to be abnormal today are going to be every day. I mean, talking to dead people, it's going to be as simple as knowing your relative's telephone number to the other side. You say, well, Uncle so-and-so died 3 or 4 months ago, and he was a hell of a carpenter. And I'm trying to build this project, and I don't know what to do. And you say, well, his father, said, well, my brother, oh, shit, his number is, you know, let's be good, 777777. You're going to go and say, 777, hey, how you doing, Uncle? Oh, I'm fine. How you feel? How do I feel? I'm dead, huh? What you feel? How you feel? You the one with all the aches and pains. So that might be a sense of humor from the other side. It ain't funny to us sitting here with a toothache. You with me? How do you know that that's not going to be as normal as turning on a TV? How do we know that? Because a stealth plane, a hover jet, on television last week, they're showing a plane that goes up like this. Boom. And takes off. Right? Before, all we know was thrust was it like, figure out a way to throw the plane. Now it goes up in the air, it goes, boom. The United States is saying, tag, if we had these back in the First World War, you know, we could have did to their butts. And System and Time says, but you didn't. But don't doubt the possibility of talking to spirits on the telephone. Don't doubt anything when you live in this day and time and you see the technology that exists today. You understand? I was just driving along with a young fella, and he got this detector for radar. I don't have one in my car, you know. I didn't think about it. I was like, what's that thing? It's going boom. So what's that? He said, you know, you see the box over there? I said, yeah, one box says somebody else got one. So somebody got one what? Well, he said, yeah. He was telling you that somebody came with one? Said, yeah. Then went another direction. I said, what's that? He said, someone's activating a microwave oven. I'm like, we sitting in a vehicle driving along 127. And somebody's cooking their food in their house and we're seeing it in the car. You mean tell me them frequencies are in the air like that? Because of microwaves? Oh yeah, this here, if it fills up, that means the police is near. The whole screen fills up, that means the police is near. So I can watch the police. I can see it. All I know, I didn't know this, you know. I'm talking, this is today. All you guys are like, you didn't know? No, I didn't know. Like, I can be, all the time I've been being chased by these cops, I could have one of them and you never had one. Y'all young folks take for granted sometimes. We old folks miss stuff. Because we don't even know, unless you come in and tell your pops, yo pop, guess what's new? Your mom, I'm sitting in my room watching black and white television. You know what I'm saying? Now let alone 3D TV. Things they got out now with three dimensions, they got movies on the internet where you don't even have to go to the cinema any longer. Don't doubt anything, because that's a tactic of the devil to make you unprepared for God's power. By making you think that it must be within the power of man to be real. And just God's power surpasses man. God can make things happen and does. But there'd be no inventions or no creations or nothing if God didn't put the thought in the minds of people. No, Einstein was dumb as heck. Now, you know why I say that? Because as smart as he appeared to be, he smoked. But when he was smoking, they hadn't gotten to the point yet where they realized how much cancer damage he was doing to himself. But every time they show you Einstein, supposed to be such a genius, he's got a pipe in his mouth. He's, you know what I'm saying, this guy invented the atomic bomb, you know, altering molecules, and he didn't figure out that he was killing himself with cancer. See, they plan a plan, and God plans a plan, and God's the best of planners. Because of how intelligent he appeared to be, he was stupid when it comes down to something that simple. That we, or they, sister, that you was asking about, is pertaining to beings that protected. Today they got them too. but we don't have it. We don't have that privilege or that luxury. I mean, you get hit by a truck out there, you know, that's it by much. But those rich folks up there, they got body parts. They got to force themselves to die. Some people just live on and on. They got some people like Bob Hope. Bob Hope is older than Santa Claus. I hate to talk about our own late President Carter, but Carter's jumping out of planes at 80. Anybody who jumps out of a plane knows your body's not equipped to jump out of no plane at 80. You can't even jump off the toilet at 80. So he must have conditioning.
What I was going to ask is, do these bodies that they've got, are they in places or are they living in the just pick them up at the street or something?
I like to say they bring them over the street. That sounds like a movie. I like to work with that. No, once they clone these bodies and they speed up their cell growth, they put them in a suspended animation. They have what's called cryogenics. Right? Now, the thing wrong with cryogenics is the brain cannot be reactivated. It turns to mush once it's frozen. But they've proven that most other organs in the body can be revitalized. But the brain, when we lose that brain contact, which is that oversoul you're talking about, so they're not concerned. So if a president has brain damage like Kennedy, when they shot him, he still lived, you know, on Nassau Island for a long time, but he was in a wheelchair, he was brain dead. So they really couldn't bring him back to the forefront of politics. So he just lived his life out there in Greece, and Jacqueline pretended she married Onassis, and that's how the story went. Didn't stop because now everybody's eyes like, what the heck? I just realized what I'm saying is new to some people, just by the look on your face. I know you all think Kennedy died, you know. Okay, you did. All right, what else? Anybody got a question? Yeah.
Is there a cure for sickle cell?
Yes, there's a cure for everything, including death. And you may not believe it, because I'm hoping you young people hear me. There's a cure for everything. The thing is, how long do you want to live? Right now you think you want to live forever, right?
Right?
But if you was Bob Hope's age, would you want to still live forever? Let's look at it this way. Now that they're on the borderline of communicating with the dead, and now has been confirmed by certain scientists that there is some form of life after death. Correct? Now they have all these psychics out there that are proving beyond a shadow of a doubt that they have the ability to communicate with the dead. Or that's what it appears to be. Ask yourself, what happens once you know for a fact that when you die, relatives who passed away to bring you over? Think about it. Understand? How many times has any and every one of us decided, I'm fed up with this life, I don't want to live no more? Don't lie. Because everybody pretend you ain't got a little insanity is crazy. Almost everybody out here at one time or another got fed up with life and said, I just can't do it. I just had it. You follow? But you was too punky to commit suicide. And you thought jumping in front of a train was going to hurt. So you're still here giving us a hard time. But suppose you knew, beyond a shadow of doubt, suppose you knew that once you pass, that your relatives, your greats are waiting for you, and they got a handset, and they take you into a new world. Suppose they did this by communicating with you before you passed. You know what I'm saying? What would happen? For one, when an officer says, pull over. Think about it. Pull over. You say, get out of the car. Excuse me, my English, but I'm saying what you say. No, I'm not getting out of the car. I'll shoot you.
Whoa.
You know, big deal. What about that time when all the bills, you know that time, right? And even those bills that we thought we were getting away with because they didn't give us the bill, so we was running that telephone up and didn't ever come and we like, hell, they forgot about me. And then just when we were on Dubad Street on the corner of Ain't Got Nothing, in comes this bill for $300 or $400, you know, for the telephone company, oh, here's a back bill for so-and-so, you like. And then you get frustrated and you say, dang, I'm going to get some, I'm going to fridge open the fridge, take a bear, and chill, open the fridge, and moths fly out. I ain't got no money to buy no food. So I don't go over my girlfriend's house. I throw my girlfriend in the coffee, just as well. phone sex. I'll just get down, go downstairs and go for a drive, just to chill downstairs, brrrr, it says empty. Hell, I'm just going to get me. I don't want to live no more. Don't say you haven't been to that road before, where you don't want to live no more. But if you had a confirmation that everything is going to be all right, this world would be a different place. The way people get in arguments, there would be no such thing as road rage. There'd be road incidents. That's all. Get out of the car, banana. You got me, I got you, thank you, bro. And we're near that now. We're near that state of mind right now. We're starting to accept just by the technology. You know what I'm saying? Communication. Oh, they already passed life on other planets. But who were they saying 20 years ago if I said there was life on Mars? You're crazy. Now they found life on Mars. Life on Jupiter. Not life on one planet, but life on more than one planet in our solar system. They found tri-star constellations, systems with three suns. It's on the internet. Go look it up. Things that they say is impossible have become possible. So life after death, which has always been based on faith and belief, is no longer simply faith and belief. It's now possible and bending towards probable. And to some, confirmed. You with me? How will that affect us as human beings? So, to answer your question, they have gotten to the point where they realize now we as a people are developing spiritually to the point where we know there's a life after death. That we know that there is really a Jesus Christ. That we know there was really angelic beings. Whatever name you use and whatever language you speak, whatever country you're influenced by is not what's important. The reality is important. We know it's real now. And our attitude towards life is changing. Our attitude towards work is changing. Our attitude towards people are changing. You know that? And we're in that day and time now. Where anything is possible. Tomorrow we can flick on the television and pip, they tell us something we never even imagined before. You know what I'm saying? So we're at that period of time where life and death are becoming one. And the system is afraid to face the reality of in what direction our minds will start to elevate. Will we become gods? And does that change the definition of God when we become God? You follow? When we reach to that level of God, the perfection in God, being His children, does God then raise to a higher level? And does that start another journey? Or does that end it? Or is that the beginning, and was this a path towards a beginning? All these questions become something to talk about. Years ago, it was simply, is there life after death? Is there heaven or hell? Does God really exist? Is God dead? Was Jesus a real person? Etc., etc., etc. And I explained to y'all, I explained to y'all before, you have two Jesuses in the Bible. I don't mean two Jesuses. We know there's three characters. I'm talking two births of two Jesuses and two Marys in the Bible. You know? People don't want to hear that. No, no, no. My Mary is my Mary. I said, well, which one? The one that had a child in a manger, or the one that had a child under a date palm tree in the desert? What are you talking about? That sounds crazy. Well, in Matthew's and them, they speak of the birth of a child in a manger, in the presence of wise men. In the book of Revelation, they speak of a child born under a date palm tree in the wilderness with dragons waiting to kill it, which is true. Or they're both true. They'll say, well, that's the mystery of God. I don't want the mystery of God. God said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make me free. I don't want the mystery. I want the facts. If you can't give me the facts, step down off the pulpit and let somebody who God inspired stand up there. Let somebody who has the answers be up there and get down. Stop the preacher and start the teacher. Stop trying to be a good person and just be a good teacher. And let people become good people themselves. Because what you are, you are. What you're going to be, you're going to be. Whatever is blown in you, it's like the tree, whatever that thing is going to fertilize this ground enough, something's going to grow from here. Whatever it's going to be, it's going to be. I may not see it through, but...
Ew, can you stop it? Oh my fucking God. You need to come out. Come on, tissue. in the commercial with the most policy.
I do.
The bears.
I'm saying, but someone's going to go there. Every person here is a God in the making. And for no other reason than God said, I put my spirit inside you. God's spirit would be no more than a seed, because it wouldn't be God. I put my spirit in man, and man became what? But what's the catchword in between that? Man what? Became. He grew into. He changed into. He metamorphosized to become. I put my spirit into man, and man became a living soul. See, but we got God's time and our time mixed up. We're taking became like past tense. We're still becoming. Because we're not a living soul yet, are we? What are we? We are a living body. Are we not? Now, check back some of you young folk. Your grandparents, your grandfather. I used to put my grandfather's jacket on and I was buried in it. He wore like a 48. Grandma had hips. Half these women here like little string beans. Half of the men here, we ain't got shoulder span no more. We were about anywhere from a 40 to a 42. And that's man size.
There's a man boy section for men size.
Women buying their clothes at a children's section. Are we metamorphosizing? Are we becoming smaller as human beings? Yes. Just check some history. Check on what size shoe your grandfather wore. 15. Average man now is wearing a 10. 9.5, 11 the most. Old folks wore 15. 12 on up. Are we changing? Yes. What are we becoming? We're becoming less physical and more mental. You talk about little midgets and little grays. We're almost there. Kids born now got these big old heads. Ain't too many little kids whose head match their shoulders. They're toting these big old tank heads. Something is changing. Kids' eyes are bright, born. When I was a child, kids wasn't born with hair. Kids wasn't born with nails. They had to wait 2 to 3 weeks before they got nails. Remember that? Now kids come out full, nails, some with teeth. Is this not a fact? I mean, we learned to grunt, you know what I mean? Pull, crawl on one leg, then crawl on two, then move around on stuff, and then get up and stagger and fall. Children now come out and do this. They're walking. What does that mean? That means God's plan is still at work. We're behind time. Misinterpretation. People not looking at the Word of God. And that's why I said, in the beginning was the... Pay attention to the words of God, not the sentences of God. You can't even get past God's words, and here you are trying to interpret His sentences. Let's do it word by word. God breathed a breath of life. Got that? Into man. And man became a living soul. And we're now still a living body. We don't become a living soul until the body is dead. That's the path we're on. That's the journey we're taking to become a living soul, a conscious soul. And that's the reward. The reward is to pass out of this physical body and yet still be conscious. There are lost souls. There are people that die, as they say, and have no spiritual connection.
Yeah, you said, no.
Some people don't dream. Some people don't dream. Some people don't dream in color. They don't have no spiritual connection. And when they pass, that's it. This is as far as they're going. Because they'll never make it to the state of a living soul. Man became a living soul. You may say, well, became is past tense. Past tense in our time or God's time. Because it says in the Bible, what? One day to God is like a thousand years. So His idea is past tense, and our idea of past tense is a great thing. What is the journey then? What is the path we're on? Huh?
to become a living soul. And what happens when we become conscious of that? We become in tune with that reality that we're becoming a living soul. And we accept that reality. Then what? Then we're God. We talked about that. It's in The Wizard of Oz. The journey led to a little person behind a mask pretending to be God. Do you realize that's why they're mad at you and I? You know that's why they're mad at Nuwabians, Nuwabs, or whatever they call them when they can't pronounce it? You know why? Because they say, he says he's God. And they don't realize they're quoting something in the Bible. When a priest said to Jesus, we're going to stone you because you say you are God. And Jesus said, is it not written in the law? I said, ye are God. They still try to stone him. They don't like us because of our consciousness, our connection with God. The reality we're starting to say, we are children of God. The Bible says God has children. And the sons of God saw the daughters of men. So, if there's sons of God on earth, and there's daughters of men on earth, who are the daughters of men? And what is their destiny? Because the sons of God, destiny is to return to the bosom of God. To be with as and of God. To be one with God. That's our path. So there's some other people walking around the planet. Whose children are they? Huh? Children of the devil. That's Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It says, I put iniquity between your seed and her seed. And we're her seed. We're even Adam's seed. So the devil has a... People are walking next to you. Walking at you. Eating at the table with you. Working with you. Flying next to you on the plane. Sitting next to you in the car. You don't even know this fool got marijuana. He didn't tell you that when he got in the car. He knew it because he purchased it. He knew it was illegal when he got into college. But he didn't have the time to tell you, I've got this marijuana with me and it's illegal. Because he was doggone way, he said, we were just running on my car. Then police pulled you over, and the police said, let me get out of here. He passed out like him. The police in this fool yelled out, why are you pulling over? This fool got the marijuana. He don't even know about it. He said, let me shut up. Guys, get out of the car. They searched him, and next thing you know, you're in jail. The only way, he said, man, he just messing with us. Man, this is racism. Man, this is harassment. Man, this is a... That was the devil sitting next to you. Now, you're looking for the devil to be white. That would make you feel so comfortable, so convenient, to say, oh, all white people are the devil and all black people are God. Crap. If you believe that white people came from black people, then you believe the devil was black before he got white. If you teach that black people are just on the planet first, and archaeologists, paleontologists, and everybody agrees with that, right? Then if the white man is bad, he came out of you, then bad came out of you. So now who be the father of the devil? Who that is? Talk real. Who it is? Came out of you then, right? You want to face that reality? Can you tell the truth about yourself? Or can you only tell the truth when it's others? When the black Muslim want to stand up and say, all white people are devil, and all black people are angels. Crap! I got some uncles I know the devil. My boy got uncles saying about me, I know that nigga devil. But then, the end will reveal that. But it's inside, the devil's walking with you every day. I'm trying to give you a message. Y'all who are aspiring here to become one with and as and of God, be on your guard against the nearest person to you. Smiling faces tell lies. Or what? The backstabbers. Watch out for that best friend. You understand? Anybody who wants to be your best friend has a purpose. Friends are not something you pick up along the way. Friendship comes from trust. How many people had people they thought were their friends and stabbed them in the back? I should say, how many people didn't? Because I know 99% of us did, and I trusted that person, and I would do anything for that person, and they stabbed me right in my back. But you know what they tell you about a snake? Huh?
You knew he was a snake when you picked him up. See, most of the time, that friend was a friend who had the connection, or the fancy car, or knew where all the pretty girls hung out, knew how to get in the party. That friend had all the connections, and that's why you cling to that friend. That friend had the delicacies of the harlots around him, or her. That friend had money all the time. I like hanging out with him or her. They knew all the sharp places to go and the best restaurants. You hear me? Now, when I posted that way, I put down my guard. G-O-D. I put down my guard. I became off guard. And that's why I got stabbed in the back. And that's why I got betrayed. And that's why I got hurt. But if I stay on that one path of reality and face reality that tomorrow anything can be saved. And he might open up tomorrow and
end episode.
You said the end button to end?
Yeah, I got it.